I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, the position of Texas Attorney General is one of the most powerful jobs in the state. Current Attorney General, Republican Ken Paxton, is not seeking re-election. He is running for Senate. There are two runoffs for the two big party nominations for AG. For the Republicans, it's between Chip Roy or Mays Middleton. And the Democratic runoff is a choice between Joe Jaworski, a former Galveston mayor, and Nathan Johnson, a Texas state senator. The Republican candidates declined to come on The Source, but the Democrats are here today. Johnson and Jaworski are promising, if elected, they will bring honor and integrity back to the Attorney General's office and fight to protect all Texans. And you get to ask the candidates your questions. 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Voters in Texas will be deciding two runoffs for Texas Attorney General. Republican voters will pick between Congressman Chip Roy and Texas Senator Mays Middleton. We invited both on The Source to take listener questions, and they did not take us up on that offer, but the Democratic candidates did for their runoff. Texas Senator Nathan Johnson and Joe Jaworski, a former Galveston mayor. The winner of that runoff will move to the November general election. They'll face the winner of the Republican runoff. In the second half hour, we're going to be joined by Joe Jaworski, but right now we're going to hear from Nathan Johnson. Senator Johnson, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Glad to be here, Dave.
And our phones are open. You can call in with your questions. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So, Nathan Johnson, introduce yourself to the listeners who don't know you.
Hi, I'm Nathan Johnson from Dallas, Texas, where I've been a practicing lawyer. I've been a professional music composer for the last 8 years. I've been a state senator serving the legislature on business and commerce committees, working in healthcare, criminal justice, tax policy, and the grid.
All right, so running to be the Texas Attorney General, get through the runoff, get to the general election. If you win the position, how would the lives of Texans change?
A lot of ways. Some ways are unseen or that you don't associate with the Attorney General's office. For example, if you have a credit card, what are the odds that you're going to be scammed either through AI or more traditional methods of scamming people? The Attorney General is there to enforce consumer protection laws, something I think they haven't done enough of. If you're paying prices that feel too high, if you feel your wages are too low and you don't have any negotiating power, it's because the Attorney General has not been doing its job to police markets, make sure that competition is actually functioning in the marketplace. Your life might be affected if you breathe air, because our Texas Attorney General has been made a habit of suing the Environmental Protection Agency for trying to clean up our air. We have multiple places in Texas that are non-attainment zones. So if your kid gets asthma and misses school and you have to work, you not only have a kid who's missing school, you've not only missed work, but your local grade school loses out on public education funding because we fund schools based on attendance. So literally, the Attorney General can determine whether or not your kid's learning, whether or not you can go to your job and work, and whether or not your public school has adequate funding, just as one example.
So the current Attorney General, Ken Paxton, Republican, he has turned the AG's office into a national conservative litigation machine. He's filing a lot of lawsuits when Joe Biden was president, and now he is turning his lawsuit machine on Texas cities and communities. What part of that approach would you immediately reverse that? How would you use the office's legal posture in order to maintain law and order?
I mean, number one priority is to reverse the damage that Ken Paxton has done. He sued the Biden administration 106 times. It's no longer politically helpful for him to sue the President of the United States because he's beholden to the President of the United States. He sued Trump 0 times across both of Trump's terms. As I said, 106 times against the Biden administration. He is suing Islamic groups. He's suing Catholic groups. He's suing suing LGBTQ groups. He's suing groups who register Hispanics to vote. And if you'll notice, the pace of his lawsuits has increased dramatically as he heads into a Republican runoff. He's literally abusing the office well above the abuse of office we've seen and nearly impeached and convicted him for. We are seeing him abuse the office daily as a headline machine to propel himself out of the Republican runoff. That is not what the office was meant to be. It's a very serious, it's important to note that when the framers of the Texas Constitution drew up the office of attorney general, they had a choice. It could be like some states where the governor appoints the attorney general, but they didn't do that. It's an independently elected executive office that has the power to curb abuse anywhere they find it, in politics, in commerce, anywhere it is. And I would use the resources, the vast resources of the Attorney General's office to do what we were supposed to do. Root out, investigate corruption in the public sector, root out, investigate corruption in the private sector, be a check and a balance, that whole, you know, Federalist Papers notion of checks and balances. The Attorney General's the one who's supposed to ensure it. So go through, sweep away all the garbage lawsuits that Ken Paxton has filed. Identify the lawsuits that good people in the Attorney General's office have filed and are pursuing, and continue that kind of work. But also not just lawsuits. I think you've got to look at policy positions, attorney general opinions, civil investigative demands. We really need to go through and clear that stuff out and redirect it to the things that are actually helpful to people in Texas.
We recently saw the U.S. Supreme Court basically do away with the Voting Rights Act. And the Texas Attorney General, if you become that position, how would you be able to protect voting rights when the U.S. Supreme Court couldn't?
Well, it is a position of limited power when it comes to pronouncements of the United States Supreme Court. I can't reverse the United States Supreme Court. I can, however, seek to invalidate or refuse to defend illegal restrictions on voting and illegal encroachments on individual voting rights or encroachments on the power of counties to fairly and safely administer elections that are enacted by the legislature. I can act serve as a check against the governor when the governor seeks to interfere with the legal administration of elections in cities and counties. So I'll essentially have to guard the rights that we have right here on the ground.
I mean, the state has a lot of voting rights. We could do more with the state authority to protect voting rights, couldn't we?
Well, it depends on what exactly you mean. The elections are administered by counties.
Sure, but we do things like the gerrymandering. Oh. We're probably going to see more of that the next legislative session.
Yeah, I actually went to Boston with the Senate Democrats to rally national support in opposition to the illegally drawn maps, but also just wildly, dangerously, inappropriately mid-decennial redistricting effort that was done. I introduced legislation actually to ban mid-decennial redistricting. I've introduced legislation every session to have independent redistricting commissions, and I abhor the illegal maps that have been drawn by our legislature. I think it's a national problem. I want the national national government to take this up. I don't expect them to. As the Attorney General, you can take a position. You can refuse to defend maps. I certainly would have refused to defend the Texas maps because I think they were illegal. But I can't replace the legislature, and I think the public has a challenge right now to elect a better legislature that does not seek to disenfranchise people in order to keep itself in power, because I do think that that's what's happening.
What do you think will happen in the next legislature on redistricting?
I think they'll draw new and worse maps.
It will directly impact minority voters?
I think it'll impact minority voters. I think it'll affect white voters. I think it's going to disenfranchise voices across the spectrum. And I think it's going to further dilute the independence even of conservative voters. I think Republicans have lost control of their own party. Thinking is punished in the Republican Party. And the more they gerrymander these maps, the less influence they have. And meanwhile, all the valuable input from the millions and millions of Democrats Democrats and independents in this state are being pushed to the side, and that's a crime.
All right, we're taking a break now. We're speaking with Texas State Senator Nathan Johnson. He is in the runoff for the Democratic nomination for Texas Attorney General. In the second half hour, we're going to hear from the other candidate in the runoff, Joe Jaworski. You can call in with your questions. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, the source.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. There is a runoff election that is going to be on Tuesday, May 26th. Early voting begins on Monday, May 18th, goes to Friday, May 22nd. With us in the studio to talk about his runoff election, Texas Senator Nathan Johnson, a Democrat seeking to become the next Attorney General of Texas. In the second half hour, we'll be joined by his opponent, Joe Jaworski. He is a former Galveston mayor. So, Nathan Johnson, what can Attorney General do about affordability issues, particularly as we're seeing things like big data centers moving into Texas, taking up a lot of electricity, pushing up prices?
There's a lot the Attorney General can do. You'll see it slowly. I think that most of our affordability problems come from a hyper-concentration of power among big companies in the commercial sector. We have not enforced antitrust laws that were put in place a century ago and updated across the last century that were designed to prevent corporations from having so much power that they could just jack up prices, that they could reduce quality, that they could lower service, that they can manipulate you at the grocery store. All that stuff has been ignored, and not surprisingly, prices have gone up while quality has gone down. The Attorney General is supposed to force the rules of the game back into play so that corporations actually do have to compete for customers, that corporations actually do have to compete for skilled labor rather than having just one employer that can dictate wages. So I look at affordability from two sides. It's the cost of things, but it's also how much money can you earn? And when you live in a marketplace that is so consolidated in power, that they can control prices, that they can control wages, and then ultimately, that leads to the big C word, corruption, they can control government. And the Attorney General is there to bust all of that up, and not to be an antagonist to the private sector, but to the contrary, to make it actually work for people. The other thing Attorney General can do is police things like junk fees. As a legislator, I have filed legislation to try to get rid of junk fees. There are some people in Ken Paxton's Attorney General's office, believe it or not, there's some people there doing good work. They've gone after hotels for junk fees. So I'm going to look for predatory practices in the commercial sector. I'm going to make sure that consumer protection laws are reinvigorated and that business competition laws are enforced, so we will have the benefit of a market economy that has consumers and residential families in mind.
Let's go to a caller. The number is 833-877-8255. And Jennifer, thanks for calling in. You're on the air with Texas State Senator Nathan Johnson.
Hi. Assuming that Greg Abbott, we're stuck with him again, what would you be able to do to prevent him from forcing cities under his thumb the way he has recently with the crosswalk rules and other silly ideas that he comes up with? How would you protect average citizens from overreach by the governor?
Jennifer, thank you.
Anything else, Jennifer? Do we cut you off?
Yeah, I just wanted to hear what both candidates.
Okay, I'll ask the same question to Joe Jaworski. All right, so go ahead, Senator.
Jennifer, it's a great and important question, and it's a live and timely one because right now Governor Abbott is threatening to withhold public safety funding from the city of Grand Prairie unless they pledge never, ever, ever to allow a Muslim group to have a pool party. It is absurd, as obnoxious, as you know, as you just reminded everybody. He has threatened to revoke funding to cities for having rainbow crosswalks, which, by the way, are safer than crosswalks that don't have rainbows. He's going after cities for allegedly not cooperating with ICE, when in fact there's I've seen no evidence that there's a problem with cities and ICE. It's just ridiculous. So this is a problem that I saw coming about 4 years ago as the legislature starts sending more and more money, state money and federal money, into the governor's office for the governor to release. And the governor's not supposed to have discretion to withhold funds for example, bulletproof vests for police officers on account of his aversion to having Muslims have a pool party. But that's exactly what he's doing. He is tyrannizing cities. He is terrorizing cities by withholding money from the governor's office. And I think that I, as attorney general, have a legal basis to shut that down because he is exceeding his authority under the law, under the Constitution. He does not have discretion to be using money the way he's using it. And I think it's something that I, as attorney general, would encourage the legislature to rethink its policies of sending money to a governor who is going to abuse his own powers to essentially try to lord over cities. And I think I can win in court, and I think I can win over the legislature on that point, and I'm really glad you brought it up.
Another caller. Let's go to Alex. Alex, you're on the air with Senator Nathan Johnson. Hey, Alex. You there?
All right. So I used to work at the district courthouse in Salt Lake City, Utah. So I know about how prosecutors and attorney generals and district attorneys, how they're mainly prosecutors, and I understand that. I respect that. But I've also seen in that time that sometimes a prosecutor or an attorney general or district attorney will defend their record, just to defend the record, even though when they know someone has been wrongfully convicted. I want to know, will you as an attorney general, will you defend the wrongfully convicted, let them out, you know, at least look into it, or are you just going to be a prosecutor and just worry about the record? I understand that's hard on crime, mm-hmm. I get it, but wrong is wrong and right is right.
Alex, thank you for your call. He's asking, what would you do about correcting wrongful convictions?
Thank you for the question, Alex. In Texas, the Attorney General actually does not have prosecutorial authority in criminal matters. That lies with the district attorneys and county attorneys. What we have seen is good district attorneys and county attorneys who incorporate justice into criminal justice, which includes exonerating people who are wrongfully convicted, retroactively investigating prior convictions. Where we've seen attorney generals do the right thing, as you've just identified, we have seen our attorney general interfere with those efforts, harass them with piles of red tape and unmanageable inquiries and take away their resources. I, as attorney general, would make sure that those district attorneys and county attorneys who are going to ensure that justice is part of the criminal justice system have my support rather than my opposition.
Well, in the case on the death row, Robert Roberson, convicted of the shaken baby syndrome death of his daughter. Lots of evidence shows that did not happen. We've seen the AG's office continually push for the execution of Roberson, even though there's a mountain of evidence that shows that he's actually innocent.
Yeah, I think that was a misuse of the attorney general's office. It's not his role to be chiming in on the subject. He doesn't represent the state or the defendant in the prosecution of that case. He doesn't have authority to do it. He should have shut his mouth and let the process proceed. There are other people who should be in that space. The attorney general has enough to do without trying to score political points in that particular arena. Now, it's an interesting political arena because it's one where you had both Republicans and Democrats advocating for exoneration. I just think it was inappropriate for the attorney general to involve himself at all there.
Another caller. Let's go to Randall. And Randall, you're on the air with Texas State Senator Nathan Johnson, a runoff candidate for Texas Attorney General.
Mr. Johnson, I've got a question here. The current occupant, Paxton, seems to launch a new lawsuit every 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, he does.
Suing this company, suing that company, this group, that group. Intelligent people know he's launching all these suits to distract from his shipping container of professional and personal issues.
Yeah.
My question, in your experience, how many of these lawsuits are ever going to cross some kind of finish line? Any kind of finish line, whether it's a settlement or a court trial or something, because I envision that all these things are getting filed and there's only so many people in the office and so many hours in the day to devote to these things, these distractions.
All right, Randall, thank you for the question.
Randall, you've put it so well. I wish I could just say that and be done, because you've summed it up there. He is filing stuff to distract from his political vulnerabilities, his abuse of office, his personal scandals, all those sorts of things. Also to make himself look tough, right? The attorney general is kind of a tough position. You're supposed to sue people for wrongdoing. But as you've observed, he's filing stuff, 2-3 lawsuits a day, you know, 10 a week. He's just going nuts. These things are not going to be litigated to conclusion. You know, his lawsuit against Jolt Initiative for registering Hispanic voters was thrown out by the district court, not just for not supplying evidence. He didn't even allege facts. This is garbage. And the other thing I think that was built into your question is that when he's filing all this garbage, he's not using the resources of the office to protect people from predatory practices in the commercial sector. He's doing nothing to investigate corruption. He's just running a partisan agenda. All that's going to be reversed when I take this office. I appreciate your insight on that.
So would your office issue formal legal guidance to hospitals, doctors, prosecutors on what emergency abortion care is allowed under Texas law? Because we've seen the current attorney general not provide that, only threaten full prosecution to doctors who provide emergency medical care.
It's really a moral low point in Texas history, not just in the attorney general's office, when a district court judge ruled that the conditions for having an emergency medical abortion had been met. Ken Paxton immediately went public with a statement that nobody is going to be, no doctor, no nurse, no hospital, no one, no husband, no friend is ever going to be protected by a judge's decision on what the necessity of a medical abortion. Yes, I would try to provide some guidance on that issue. The legislature itself last session passed a clarifying statute. I was very active in getting language into the law that would reduce the risk that women are placed in that awful, awful situation of having to leave the state to try to protect their own lives and their reproductivity. And I think it's absolutely reprehensible what Ken Paxton has done. I actually have been very clear in my record that I support a woman's right to control her own reproductivity, including an abortion. And I will continue with that position within the bounds of the powers of the Attorney General's office.
So your campaign has been emphasizing consumer protection, fighting corruption, promoting public safety, fighting MAGA-aligned attacks on rights and federalism. So how would you go about trying to, make those things happen?
I think the first thing you got to do is rebuild the office. There are nobody comes in with all the answers, and I didn't come into the legislature with all the answers. I won't enter the attorney general's, but you surround yourself with people who are knowledgeable in all these different areas. And I think that's the number one priority, is get the talent back into the attorney general's office, clear it out of the ideologues, and invite anybody who's working there at the top levels to reapply for the job. If they're there for ideological right-wing reasons, they need to go work somewhere else. If they're there to serve the people of Texas because they have expertise in investigating corruption, if they have expertise in prosecuting antitrust violations, if they have expertise in criminal justice, or even if they have expertise in collecting child support and working with families who are struggling, I want them on board. So number one, I want to retain and recruit good quality people.
So how would making you attorney general, I'm going to go back to the original question because I really want to get a very, solid answer, concrete answer. How would that change the lives of Texans?
It depends on the Texan. If you come from a family that is depending on child support, you're going to be working directly with the attorney general's office. If you are somebody who buys things at stores, prices, your experience at customer service, your exposure to data privacy, compromising data privacy. These things are enforced by the attorney general's office. It's not a one-to-one relationship. The attorney general is not your personal attorney in court. The attorney general is there to defend your personal individual rights, to make sure that you are not the object of predation in the commercial sector, to make sure that you are not deprived of your rights by the legislature, that you're not persecuted by the governor or the attorney general's office. So, most of the time, you're not going to see what the attorney general is doing because they're stopping bad things from happening to you, whether it's clean air or rights to public education dollars. Let me give you one other example. if you have a child in school who depends on bilingual education, or heck, if you live in a neighborhood that has a school that depends on bilingual education, you'll want an attorney general who would sue the Trump administration for withholding $700 million previously appropriated by the federal government to give to Texas to use in bilingual education. The attorney general can do that. It does affect individual lives. It affects whole communities.
Texas State Senator Nathan Johnson is a candidate in the runoff election for Texas Attorney General. In the coming half hour, we're going to have Joe Jaworski, his opponent, in that runoff. Election day is Tuesday, May 26th. Early voting begins on Monday, May 18th, runs through Friday, May 22nd. And Senator Johnson, thank you so much for coming in the studio and talking to us.
Thanks for bringing me in. I appreciate talking with you.
And The Source continues after this break. Stay with us. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Texas Democrats are heading to a runoff to decide who will be their nominee for Texas Attorney General, one of the most powerful legal and political offices in the state. Republicans also have their runoff for AG. The two candidates are Congressman Chip Roy and Texas State Senator Mays Middleton. They both declined to come on The Source to take your questions. In the last half hour, we heard from Texas State Senator Nathan Johnson. Now we're joined by his opponent, that is Joe Jaworski, former mayor of Galveston. And Joe Jaworski, welcome to The Source.
David, thank you so much.
All right, it's great to have you. Here's the number. If you got a question or a comment, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Joe Jaworski, introduce yourself to the listeners.
David, I'd be pleased to. My name is Joe Jaworski. I'm a third-generation Texas lawyer, and I'm so proud that our son just got sworn in by the Supreme Court. So he's a fourth-generation Jaworski lawyer. And I'm a former mayor of Galveston, Texas, David, who served after Hurricane Ike really did a number on the island. And so I've experienced the recovery phase after a natural disaster, which is something the attorney general definitely has jurisdiction over. And I am a believer in democratic politics because I think government should tame the savageness of man and make gentle the life of this world. And David, I'm running because the people in the office right now are persecutors of the people, not the helpers. And so I want to help make life better for all Texans.
So if you become Texas Attorney General, how would that change the lives of Texans?
It would, because, you know, the wealthy have access to their lawyers in the high-rise skyscrapers in downtown Houston, Austin, and Dallas. But the balance of people who make up the great state of Texas don't have representation. I will improve 32 million people's lives by having a transformational division of affordability and value, where we will have 100 lawyers or more working every day to help American Texans afford the American dream. David, I'll have a division of elections and voter encouragement, the exact opposite of the voter suppression regime that Ken Paxton oversees. And this way, people will have their voice heard. And finally, a division of ethics and integrity. We all know, David, there's something horribly wrong with government. It's been purchased by the wealthy. The public commons should not be for sale. And the whistleblower for such an event is the attorney general. Unfortunately, the current one is having the whistle blown on him.
So the current one, Republican Ken Paxton, he has turned the Texas Attorney General's office into a national conservative litigation machine. That's something he brags about having done. So what parts of that approach would you use, or would you immediately reverse if you become attorney general?
Yeah, he's representing a fraction of the population, and that is not what the Texas Constitution orders. So I've been a lawyer for 35 years, and unlike any of the other people running for attorney general, I've got the greatest experience as an officer of the court. And so the attorney general ought to be going to court appearing before judges in the federal and the state system and arguing for the rights of the people. And so what I'll do different than Ken Paxton is I'll actually start with an acknowledgement of who is my client. It is the collective benefit of 32 million Texans. Ken Paxton is the consigliere for the mafia hit squad known as the MAGA Republican Party. And that is why he gets away with it, because they've gerrymandered the vote. They have a pipeline of money, David, that just is never ending. And it washes out the good people who are crying out for government to serve them again. So the main difference between me and Ken Paxton is I'll actually find commonality among the beautiful pastiche of 32 million Texans, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, gay, straight, Muslim, Christian, Jewish, all of them. And we'll focus on the commonality that we all have rather than just pick winners and losers.
Many Texans are dealing with the affordability crisis, the Trumpflation, the rising prices that are being brought about by policies from the Trump administration. What can the Attorney General do to lower prices?
Right. Good examples. I referred to my transformative division of affordability and value, something that's never happened before in the Attorney General's office. We will have 100 or more lawyers, for example, appearing at the Public Utilities Commission on behalf of ratepayers, going up against CenterPoint and Oncor and these transmission and utility companies, where the rate, David, always seems to go up. It never seems to go down. And we will argue to hold these companies accountable to prove why their rates must go up. Take the same example before the Texas Department of Insurance, where we will hold property insurers, State Farm, Allstate, and health insurers, Blue Cross Blue Shield, to account, making them do right by the doctors, for example, who submit claims on behalf of their patients. And rate payers, premium payers who have teenage daughters, for example, with mental health issues, are the carriers doing their job supporting the mental health of Texans like the contract of insurance requires? No attorney general gets involved in that because they're on the take from the insurance side. This will be different.
Let's go to a caller. Our number is 833-877-8255. Let's go to Emmanuel. And Emmanuel, you're on the air with Joe Jaworski.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Just wanted to get the candidate's take on hemp derivatives and whether he's for or against the regulation or legalization. I know it's been a hot topic for a bit now. Just wanted to get his take on that.
All right, Emmanuel, thank you for that. So Joe Jaworski, what can the Attorney General do about bringing some, predictability to what's happening with the hemp derivatives?
Well, absolutely. So, Emmanuel, on a political matter, I am for legalization of cannabis in Texas. So not just hemp, but the full affair regarding cannabis for at least two reasons. One, it is a economic driver. Small businesses have shown it is a very popular industry, and we know this not just from Texas, but from other states. The second reason is it's a social equity question in terms of criminal justice. Way too many Texans are behind bars or criminally burdened by these, tickets and sometimes arrests based on personal possession of cannabis. I would like to see that done away with. David, as to what the Attorney General can do with the status of the law now, simply be a consumer advocate and make the legislature understand that a statewide constitutional executive elected by 32 million, whose campaign platform very clearly states he is for cannabis legalization, and that certainly includes hemp legalization, would suggest that the people want this, and it will be my pleasure to appear before the legislature in the 90th legislature starting in January 2027 to remind them of this.
I had a caller in the previous half hour, and they wanted me to ask this question to you as well. They said that the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has waged a war against cities Things like the Rainbow Crosswalk, other rulings of lawsuits against cities. What is your take on that?
Well, this is something I have a unique ability to respond to. Of the four men that remain standing for attorney general, I am the only who served as a mayor and as a city council member. I believe in local decision-making authority. I believe in cities, counties, and school districts' ability to rule their own destination. That's because the spectrum of power in Texas always ends at the old Tip O'Neill statement, all politics is local. So I believe the state is being a bully in stopping cities from doing what their voters want. And it just so happens that it has very much to do with most of the cities are led by Democrats. So once again, the MAGA mafia conciliary connection with Ken Paxton. So what I would say, David, is whether it's rainbow crosswalks or local zoning or ability to tax, let the locals have their say. You can elect your mayor every 2, 3, or 4 years. You can go speak at the 3-minute public comment. You can reach out and figuratively touch your council member. You just try to get a meeting with Ken Paxton and let me know how that goes.
So we're probably going to have redistricting again in the next legislative session in about a minute. Can you kind of give your response? How would, as Attorney General, would you deal with that?
Well, unfortunately, the Supreme Court and the Texas Supreme Court are against us on these things if you're a Democrat. One way to win this thing in the ultimate analysis is to register more people. So my first promise to you is I will register all high school seniors like the Texas election code requires the principal to do. We can also, at every one of the 53 satellite offices where child support is collected and distributed, we can have a big sign that says, are you feeling oppressed? Do something about it, get registered today. And I commit to you, I will commit some of my $1 billion biennium budget to provide a stipend to certain employees within the Office of Attorney General to become voter deputy registrars. And we will register every soul who comes into that office. David, they are the most persecuted and screwed under the system. These people need to be voting.
We're going to take a break. It's a 1-minute break, and we'll be right back with more with Joe Jaworski. He is a runoff candidate for the Texas Attorney General's seat. Early voting begins on Monday. Runoff day is Tuesday, May 26th. And you can call in with your questions for this candidate. Could be the next Attorney General. 833-877-8255. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The position of Texas Attorney General is one of the most powerful jobs in the state. The current AG, Republican Ken Paxton, is not seeking re-election. He is running for Senate. There are two runoffs for this big party nomination. For the AG, Republicans, it's between Chip Roy and Mays Middleton. For the Democrats, it's between Joe Jaworski and Nathan Johnson. We have Joe Jaworski with us now. We had Nathan Johnson on with us in the first half hour. You can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255. So, Joe Jaworski, it used to be that states' rights was the rallying cry for Republicans, but do you see the Trump administration taking action that is a violation of states' rights, things like trying to ban mail-in voting, a lot of federal overreach from the Trump administration in areas that are really the purview of the states? And would you do something about that?
Yes, absolutely, David. Unfortunately, Donald Trump is not well, and he is our president. He is definitely not there, and nobody in the Republican administration is willing to do anything about it. Gone are the days when a principled conservative like Barry Goldwater would, you know, tap Richard Nixon on the shoulder and say, sir, your time is done. The votes aren't there to support you. It's all about doing whatever Donald Trump says. So it is cult-like in this inability to move. That leaves it to the states, as you say, David. And, you know, Democratic attorneys general fortunately have an organization called DAGA, Democratic Attorneys General Association, and it's about half of the states in the union that have Democratic AGs. I hope to be one of them and to work to defeat the excesses of the Trump White House. Mail-in voting is a perfect example. I mean, there's actually states in the union that only vote through mail-in voting, like Washington. It's an absolutely credible way to get your vote done. And states ought to, under the United States Constitution, have the final say on how they operate their elections. Donald Trump, of course, it's all about holding on to power. And you got to know how to deal with a bully. I've been doing this for 35 years as a lawyer, and I'm prepared to take it to him. My relationship with the Trump administration, in a word, will be hostile.
So would your office issue formal legal guidelines to hospitals, doctors, and prosecutors on what emergency abortion care is allowed under Texas law? Because we have not gotten that under Ken Paxton. Instead, he has continued to threaten anyone, even if they get an emergency abortion, of a prosecution to the fullest extent of the law.
I absolutely will. I don't understand, David, how any doctor or physician will vote for a Republican in this election. They've tried to take away their ability to practice medicine and in many ways, and they're certainly siding with the insurance companies, the Republican Party, making life difficult for primary care physicians to make a living. To answer your question, at minimum, I will be delighted to issue legal guidance that abortion care is something legal under the Texas Constitution, and that there are theories that I will promote if need be in litigation itself, where equal protection is the question. I think women, by design under God, have a right to protect their lives in a difficult pregnancy. I believe women, just as well as men, have a right to decide when to start their family. To simply say men get priority, too bad, is not constitutional in any way, shape, or form. So legal opinion and litigation will be forthcoming.
And what would you do, or could you do anything about the Texas role in immigration enforcement? Where is the legal line between state authority and federal authority? Would you defend cities and counties, school districts that resist aggressive immigration policies?
I will, David. You know, and here's my philosophy on it. American institutions of immigration and criminal justice are two wonderful institutions. They are separate. They should not be conflated. Immigration is what made America, and everyone wants to be safe, and that's what our police and criminal justice, the courts, is for. It is not illegal to be an immigrant. And I believe Texas has a deep connection to immigration. It is what has made our population strong. It is what has made our construction industry and service industry second to none. And so, for example, immigrants, dreamers who have graduated from Texas high schools have a right under the Texas Dream Act to in-state tuition, until Ken Paxton and Pam Bondi colluded to undo that law, even though the legislature, as recent as last May, said it was perfectly fine for the 25th time. We need to support our youth. Immigration is a good American value, and I demand that the United States Congress get off its backside and actually reform our laws. And if you have to do amnesty, so be it. I think that's where most people are. And as Attorney General, I will not shy away from saying that.
Do you think Texas is being threatened by Sharia law? We've seen the current Attorney General Ken Paxton investigating and saying that this is a problem.
No, I don't. It's nonsense. Here's a good example of how hateful that ideology is filtering its way. I was at the grocery store the other day, and the shopper checkout at the cashier said, "Oh, Mr. Jaworski, how's your campaign doing?" I mean, they're very nice people at the grocery store. And I said, "Oh, it's wonderful. I'm so excited about the campaign." And this woman looks at me and goes, "Well, what are you running for?" And I said, "Well, I'm an attorney general candidate and I'm a Democrat." She said, "I won't be voting for you then, because I need my Republicans to keep me safe from the Muslims." Quote. And I said, ma'am, I know where you're going. I said, I just need to tell you there are some wonderful professionals in this state who are of the Muslim faith, and they are not a threat to you. And I started explaining this one man I met from Duke University who's come down to be the executive director of the Rothko Chapel, and she cut me off and just had some horrible things to say. So those folks, David, may not be able to be reasoned with, but the grand majority of Texans understand that those who worship at a mosque are not going to be a threat to us. And by the way, the United States and the Texas constitutions guarantee free expression of religion, Christianity, Judaism. And I'll remind people that, you know, Islam recognizes the existence of Jesus Christ. So, you know, let's get real, folks, and let's just get off each other's backs, and let's not be so savage toward each other. And I'm sorry that the two Republican AG candidates are saying some of the most hateful, unconstitutional things. They have no business getting near the office of Attorney General.
If the legislature passes a law signed by Greg Abbott that you believe is unconstitutional, as Attorney General, would you still have a duty to defend that law in court?
Well, first off, I am counting on Gina Hinojosa being the governor when I'm serving as Attorney General. But David, you do present a hypothetical that deserves an answer. The good news about being the Attorney General is you are the people's lawyer. You are not Greg Abbott's lawyer. And so if the legislature passes what I perceive to be an unconstitutional exercise of power and the governor signs it, I promise I will have given them plenty of prior notice of my opinion. I will then not support it. I will very well initiate litigation to undo it. And certainly I won't defend a case brought by some other interested party alleging that the law is unconstitutional. If I, in my discretion as a Texas lawyer, who, by the way, under the Texas rules of professional conduct, I have to make a determination whether the position I'm arguing is frivolous or not. So if a law in my professional discretion is unconstitutional, I have a duty not to take a position to defend it. So that's the answer.
So if you become a Democrat attorney general in the state of Texas, how would that change basically the landscape of Texas? I mean, it would seem like a brand new day.
Agreed. That's a great way to put it, David. When my wife and I graduated University of Texas School of Law as husband and wife in 1991, Ann Richards was governor. The world made sense. We were able to start a family pretty quickly, afford a home. Democrats have been out of power, as we all know, for about three decades. When we elect a Democrat statewide in November 2026, it will be a new day. And unlike the two Republican candidates who refused to meet with you, David, on this wonderful radio show, likewise, you will see Democrats all over the environment, in the media, in the campuses, restoring connection to the people. Government ought to be of, by, and for the people, not this white castle up on the hill that you can't possibly touch, but you'll be hearing from us when we're damn ready to talk to you. That's not government. That's despotism, and we're not going to do that.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, Joe Jaworski. He is a former mayor of Galveston. He is the runoff candidate for Texas Attorney General. We heard from his opponent, Nathan Johnson, in the previous half hour. Republicans are also having their runoff election to see who will be their banner carrier for AG. It will be either Chip Roy or Mays Middleton. We did invite them to come on our program, and they did not accept our invitation. This is going to be the first time in more than a decade that Texans will be able to pick their next Attorney General from a field of candidates that does not include Republican Ken Paxton. So things will change no matter what happens. And I want to thank you so much, Joe Jaworski, for joining us today.
You bet, David. Great to be here.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.